We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
Crossover. Love it.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast around the Blue Wire Network. We're brought to you by betonline.ag. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here, as always, with Jason Pat. Jason, the NBA is coming back.
It is. The owners, the Board of Governors, they voted 29-1 on the proposal. The NBA's proposal to come back to return to resume this 2019-20 season. We talked about it in our last pod. It is going to be this 22-team format. They're going to have the play-in tournament for the last seed, which means since it is only 22 teams, again, the players will vote on this tomorrow. That is a formality. So again, basically, the NBA will be coming back July 31st, regular season. But since it's only 22 teams, that means your Chicago Bulls are done. And again, we have talked about this. We kind of saw this was coming. The reporting leading up to this vote today of the Board of Governors had hinted that it was going to be these 22 teams, the 16 playoff teams, and then the six teams that are within six games of the playoffs. So that's the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, the Blazers, the Suns, and the Wizards. They'll all be in the playoffs as well. And then they'll have this play-in tournament. They'll play eight regular season games. And then if the ninth seed team is within like four games, then there'll be a play-in tournament between the eight and nine seed. And I think the ninth seed has to win like two games if they do that. If no one's within four games, that eight seed just gets their spot. And that's all good. But again, this means the Bulls are done. Another wretched Bulls season is now officially over. Thank the Lord. We have kind of talked about this on this pod that we were totally fine with the Bulls being done. They were 22-43. They were garbage. They were trash. You've listened to us on this podcast a while. You know that we hated this season just like we hated last season, just like we've hated the last few seasons. So honestly, it's almost just kind of just nice to know that this Bulls season is done. We can look forward to hopefully firing Jim Boylan here soon, but we'll talk about that a bit more in the future. But just, I guess, what's your initial take on NBA return plan and this Bulls season officially being kaput?
Yeah, I wish that like we could hit like a Sim 5 seasons button with the Bulls, because I would love to just like get way out in front of this. I think the Bulls have a lot of work to do. We're not going to see the Bulls play another game until December 1st, it sounds like, at the absolute earliest. And even at that point, like, you know, you just wonder how this short season is going to affect everyone next year. The Bulls, of course, are already going to be in a strange spot with, a new front office coming in and most likely reshaping the entire organization, getting fresh evaluations on all the core pieces. So it's really hard to say, like, if anybody on the current roster is going to be in their long-term plans or which of the players will be. I'm thrilled that the Bulls will not be involved in this, because let's be honest, they don't deserve to be. This season started with the Bulls talking about the playoffs on the first day of training camp. It ends with the Bulls not making even an expanded version of the playoffs, where if you were only, what, six games back of the number eight seed, they would have made it. And so this is just such a humiliating season all around. Fortunately, we do have the front office change to hang our hats on. So, you know, that's good. And I'm sure that we're going to be spending every week talking about how Karnišovas and Mark Eversley can remake this organization. But this season just had to end. What a disaster all around. An F minus, minus, minus.
Total.
Boylan can talk all he wants about, like, the strides they made in terms of, like, their shot profile and
turnovers, whatever
garbage he wants to talk about. Like, this season was so humiliating because at the start of the season, dude, even I wrote something positive. Like, I really liked the Satoransky signing. I liked the Thad Young signing. I was trying to be objective in my analysis. But, oh my God, did we not consider just how bad of a coach Jim Boylan would be? So I'm thrilled the Bulls are done, obviously. In terms of the NBA returning at all, I think there's a lot of questions for Adam Silver to answer about this, because it just seems like there's a ton of risk involved in a return to play. When Silver said that the last time he spoke to the media, which I think was like April 17th or something, it was a long time ago, he said that the NBA would be beholden to the data, not the date. Well, Silver hasn't spoken since then. There's certainly been no real concrete data in terms of the virus, like, receding into daily life. The fact that, you know, there's not going to be a second wave when we've heard something different than that for the last couple months. So I think there's a ton of question marks for the NBA to answer. I can't wait until Adam Silver actually addresses the press and gets to answer some of the big questions in front of him, because right now I feel like the NBA's plan is basically to cross its fingers and hope that no one gets really sick, hope that no superstar gets really sick, hope that they can avoid all kinds of controversies within this bubble, within this return to play. I get that they want to crown a champion. I want to see a champion crowned this season too, but it could be a disaster. I think there's a lot of risk involved in returning to play, and you just wonder how it's going to work out for the league.
Yeah, Silver even kind of acknowledged that in the statement that they put out, the NBA put out today, that there's still just like a lot to work on, especially with the health aspects. Silver is going to be talking to the media, I believe, next week. He said he's going to be doing some conference calls on that, so we will hopefully be getting more answers then. But yeah, you're totally right. Like, ESPN put an article out today, just like kind of an FAQ about like what we know and like don't know about the return of the season. And there was one of the questions they had was like, what happens if someone like tests positive or whatever? And it was basically like, well, they're probably just going to keep playing. They're going to quarantine the person. And then the follow-up was basically like, well, what happens if there's like a widespread, like a kind of goes through and like a couple guys get it. Like, we saw like the Brooklyn Nets, I think like four guys got it earlier this season. Like, obviously they were all fine, but like, what if that happens and there's like a widespread event? Like, are they just is they gonna shut it down? Like, how many positive tests would be required to shut it down? And again, not only players, I mean, again, we've talked about this, like there's coaches, like the at-risk coaches who are older, and there's all the people who will be in the bubble as well with them, the hotel staff and all these other people. So like what, I guess, what will be the line drawn for like how they would, if they would have to stop it again. Again, I would assume Adam Silver will be addressing these questions next week. We'll have to see. There are just a lot of questions. Like, I saw some people lamenting this on Twitter as well, that it seems like the NBA was kind of going backwards. Like, instead of locking in the health protocols first, they wanted to get the return to play format first. Like, I mean, I get it. I guess I understand why they did this as well. I've seen stuff about how they're putting together this whole like health guideline, and they're going to have just a ton of rules. Obviously, it's definitely going to be a very unique and just kind of weird situation, because there's going to have all these tests that they're going to have to take. Like, if it's not daily, it's going to be maybe every other day or something. There's going to be a ton of tests going on and all these other protocols. So again, that these details will probably be talked out with the players tomorrow. The players have their call tomorrow. And then in the coming weeks and days and leading up to this July 30th, the training camp, which I believe will be like in like a month, they want to start the camp, and then July 31st, Yeah, just a lot to work out still.
And then next season's going to be insane, too, because right now you have Game 7 of the finals scheduled for, like, October 12th.
Correct.
The new season's supposed to start December 1st. So, basically, I feel like the league is just admitting that, like, the teams that are going to be in the finals, those teams are just, like, not going to play their stars at the start of next season. You hope, like, let's say it's the Lakers. How much... like, how long can the Lakers tread water if LeBron is, like, not playing the start of the season, if Kawhi is not playing the start of the season for the Clippers? Then I also worry about player safety, because you know they're going to try to jam-pack as many games as possible into the shortened schedule to try to make up as much money as they can. And then, like, what about players, like, being at risk for injury in more of a truncated game schedule? So I'm worried about that. The next two seasons are just going to be so bizarre because of the pandemic. And, you know, things are not going to get back to normal until the 2021-2022 season.
We hope. Yeah.
Just bizarre, man. And, I guess for Bulls fans, you know, the lottery will be the next big thing to look forward to. What's the lottery date again? I don't have that in front of me.
August 25th is the lottery. And then the draft will be October 15th, with free agency happening like a few days after that. I think October 18th would be the open of free agency. So, yeah, I mean, with the Bulls, yeah, I mean, we still have just like so long to like really think about all this stuff, because what is that? August 25th, the lottery, that's still 2.5 months away. And then the draft is whatever, is it 3 months away now? Three and a half months away. It's still like a long way, just a long layoff for like Bulls fans. Really thinking, again, it's mostly right now we're just kind of waiting on the Jim Boylan thing. But yeah, your points about the next season and like is definitely crazy, because you mentioned like the finals, October 12th, and then they want training camps open November 10th. So if you're in the finals, those two teams will have a month off season, and then going into next season, and then it'll be interesting to see, like, are they going to try to play all 82 games next season? Are they going to try to do something where they're going to start every season now in December? Because I know some people have been pushing for that. I am not a fan of that at all. I like having summers kind of to relax and recharge the batteries. I know a lot of fans would like having NBA in the summer because it's basically just going against baseball and all that, but I personally like having like the end of July, August, and September to really not pay attention to basketball and enjoy the weather and all that stuff. But I know some people have talked about permanently shifting the schedule back, so I'm curious to see if they will do a full schedule next season or if they'll try to truncate it and then get back to the normal October through June schedule. Just again, so many new questions here.
Yeah, and I wonder how this could like sort of benefit the Bulls in their reshaping, or if it's going to hurt them, because you know, you're not going to be able to start really evaluating guys in game settings until December now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like I would hope that the first thing the Bulls are going to do is just try to like overhaul all of these parts of the organization that have always been ignored, like player development, like you know, the training staff, like probably stuff like the player diets, and just like keeping and hopefully like player psychology, all that stuff that a lot of the biggest teams in the league have taken care of. It seems like, you know, the Bulls have always had a smaller staff. So I wonder how they're going to use this time to remake all that. And then, you know, next year is going to be a weird, weird year, man. And we got a lot of time to talk about that, but, this is going to be a strange restart to the season. I pray that everyone stays healthy. Like, could you imagine if a player got seriously sick inside the bubble, how much of a PR disaster that would be? And especially what we know about how quickly the virus can transmit from one person to another. Right now, the league's saying that, like, if a player tests positive, they're going to quarantine by themselves for, you know, the doctor recommended amount of time, probably 2 weeks. But by the time they already test positive, they could have potentially passed the virus to other people. Like, what if, like, Giannis gets it? Or what if LeBron gets it? You assume that those guys are young enough and in, like, they're literally in the greatest shape of any living human beings, that they should be able to beat the virus relatively easily. Obviously, I think we've heard that, like, Donovan Mitchell and Gobert were mostly asymptomatic. But I wouldn't be taking the virus for granted. Like, we still don't know that much about the virus, and there could very likely be a second wave when the league is reaching the final rounds of its playoffs. So I have a ton of questions about this, and I feel like the league's whole strategy is, like, hoping and praying.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, I've seen that cases are going back up in Florida. I don't know if it's necessarily like in, I've seen that it's not necessarily in like the Disney World area, and obviously they will be in this bubble, but yeah, I mean, you hope, and especially with like a lot of places are easing restrictions, like, I mean, obviously Chicago's in, you know, our phase three, we're like reopening like our restaurant patios and like retail places, so like we're steadily like reopening, and we'll see, and we'll hope that like this is still just gradually going away. And there is no second wave. Like, really, right now, we can just hope we can be as safe as we can. And the NBA is basically just hoping that it'll be all right. So, yeah, I mean, imagine what if, like, yeah, if one of those guys, even if they're not, even if they don't get, like, really sick themselves, again, you worry about transmitting to other people. If they have to sit out, I mean, they're going to obviously have to sit out. Like, if this happened in the finals, like, LeBron had to sit out the finals because he, like, got coronavirus. Like, that'd be absolutely wild. So, yeah, a lot of it's definitely crossing fingers. Mitigating risk as much as possible.
In like, it's going to be hurricane season too, man. And you're going to be in Florida. I don't know how Orlando is typically affected by hurricane season, but I've heard that like the weather this year in the southernmost parts of the country is like expected to be insane. I think probably some of that's projection and it's not concrete yet, obviously. But, you know, the way this year is going, I don't think you can rule anything out. And just another question mark for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Finishing up here real quick, we're going to keep this short again, and we'll do a more thorough Bulls recap of the season here in the coming weeks. We obviously have plenty of time to talk about it, but just finishing up, we talked about just kind of the overhaul of this organization. Casey Johnson wrote an article yesterday just kind of highlighting just some of the stuff they had. He called it, the headline was an unprecedented offseason, obviously, because the Bulls have not made these kind of changes in basically forever. And again, they're basically kind of slow playing this whole thing. This talks about how Karnišovas and Eversley, they've had conversations with players, they've evaluated departments, but that they're still, and that they've talked to some holdovers. Like this mentions Brian Hagan, associate GM, Steve Wyman, who we know, assistant general manager, Jim Paxson's name comes up again, and that Karnišovas has had these discussions. He's addressed some situations, but he's letting the evaluation process play out. We'll see how long the evaluation process is. You kind of talked about that. It's kind of unclear how long it'll be. And then there's obviously the whole Boylan thing, which we've brought up. And there was some weird stuff mentioned about Boylan in this article, which this was kind of hinted at. I can't remember who initially reported it. It might have been Casey, but Boylan kind of taking away his coaching, like not taking away coaching duties, like using his time with like almost like GM duties instead of like coaching, that like took away from his coaching. And this article talked about how, here we go. In the sign of Karnišovas' leadership style, he has communicated to Boylan to focus strictly on coaching and working with the staff and players, because too often Boylan got wrapped up in dealing with player agents or honoring commitments on the business operations side, which sidetracked his focus. Like, I would love to know what that actually means. Obviously, we know that Gar Forman was kind of sidelined as a GM and was taking more of a scouting role. And like, so Boylan was like doing GM stuff while coaching, and that like hurt him as a coach. Like, I'm really curious just like what that whole deal was. And like, I mean, that kind of also reeks of excuse making for Boylan sucking, but like, it just seems like a whole mess of a situation there. Like, it just shows just like how much like John Paxson and this ownership just freaking loves Jim Boylan. Like, why are you trusting Jim Boylan to do all this stuff when he hasn't even proven to be a good coach for you? It makes no sense to me.
It just shows how understaffed they were too. Like, that goes back to the Reinsdorfs not hiring enough people, not hiring enough smart people, going into the season with such a small staff that like you have to rely on your head coach to do this stuff. And I don't know exactly what that means. I remember when like Stefan Noe and a couple other Bulls writers interviewed Michael Reinsdorf, like they would have Boylan go to like meet and greets and stuff basically, and do like fan relations and do like, you know, talk to, I don't know if he was
season ticket holders,
but like, yeah, like basically try to like sell tickets, which it's just totally crazy, man. I mean, F is great this season gets. We'll go over it in more detail later, but just a train wreck, and the Bulls do not deserve to play another game this year, so that's good.
Yep, absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's such a disappointment, because we talked ourselves into that. Like, I was not on the playoff train. I feel like you were. I thought they could get close. We both talked ourselves into them being like a fun team this year, and we just underestimated the suckiness of Jim Boylan and just these guys. And so obviously it's not all on him. We have to put some of it on the players.
A lot of injuries too. I mean, not having Otto Porter for pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, the Porter thing really sucked. So like, as much as like we like to mock like the injuries being like an excuse, to a degree it was. But we also do have to remember when they started the season, mostly healthy, they lost some just absolutely terrible games. And it's kind of funny to think about, like, That Knicks loss where they choked. I mean, the opening night against the Hornets, they blow a late lead. There was that Knicks game where they blow it and Bobby Portis goes off. Later in the year, they lose two games to the Warriors. I know they started beating up on bums a bit later, but like, just think about how some of those early games were. If they would have beaten the Warriors twice, they'd probably be in this. Like, I'm not sure what they would do with like an uneven amount of teams if there were 23 teams, but if they would have beaten the Warriors twice, basically they'd be right there in position for one of these last, for this play-in tournament. But of course they didn't. 22-43, the record speaks for itself. There were some reasons why there were a bunch of reasons why they were bad. Ultimately though, like you said, F, and we're moving on. We'll talk about the season more, but it'll be nice to move on going forward, and we'll see how this NBA season returns. But obviously, again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that and recapping this Bulls season. Moving forward, we'll see next week if there's a Jim Boylan decision, if they're going to keep slow playing that. Either way, next time we're with you guys, we'll definitely have a bit longer, more in-depth stuff on either Jim Boylan's firing or just a season recap. But I think that's all it for today. Ricky, you have any final thoughts?
That's it, man. Thank God the Bulls are done.
The Bulls are done and they are not back. Thanks again, as always, for listening to Cash Consideration, Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to Bet Online and shout out to Blue Wire Network, our great network with stuff all across the network. With the NBA coming back, please go listen to all the great NBA podcasts. There'll be plenty of great coverage out there. There has been during this entire hiatus, but now with basketball hopefully coming back, there will obviously be a ton of actual basketball conversation now from all our playoff teams and teams that will be taking part of this in the bubble. So shout out to them. Go check out all those other great pods. Brush, Cast Considerations. Please rate and review us. Give us your feedback. You know where to find us on Twitter. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, all those places wherever you listen to your pods. So for Jason and Ricky, this has been Cast Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. The Bulls are not back. The NBA, supposedly. We will talk to you guys next week.